had good conversations with the majority leader and with you. Members of our caucus has had good conversations, but something happened last week. Something happened that, for some reason, your caucus has taken a completely different twist to it now, Madam Speaker. I don't know exactly what the discussions are, but obviously after a long caucus last time, it came back that the majorities have appeared to have said, well, we're gonna do something ourselves and we're going to leave the minority out, is the way it feels like right now with us. Madam Speaker, a different version of House Bill 406, which is now goes to the Finance Committee, was read out of committee. Members of my caucus were told by the chairman of that committee that there would be time for input on that bill, how it came back out. That was not granted. They were told that there'd be time for the public to have input into those changes. That was not granted. And, Madam Speaker, we are somewhat dismayed at the direction we have taken. Madam Speaker, we believe that the people of Alaska are demanding that they have a right to address this issue in the next election, that we have fought over this issue for years now and unable to come to a decision, and that it is the public, the general public, the state of Alaska as a whole, that need to address this issue, Madam Speaker. And the way they need to do that, in my mind, is to have a say on a constitutional amendment, especially one that has been developed by a bipartisan group of people, as I believe happened with the task force. And Madam Speaker, we do not want to put this off until sometime in the future. The majority leader said the other day when he was talking about another bill, he said, well, listen, don't judge us now on how this bill is right now. Wait until the final product. But yet, if we wait till the final product comes out, we're criticized because why didn't you give your input before? This has happened on other bills. So you can't really wait till the final product. This is the time for us to give our input. And Madam Speaker, we do not believe that shutting us out of the process at this time is the proper way to go. Madam Speaker, because of that, I would move that we move House Joint Resolution Number 46 out of committee, send that bill to the Finance Committee along with House Bill 406, so that they may be heard together in that committee and debated together in that committee.
There's a motion before the body to move House Joint Resolution 46?
46. And I'll read the title of that, Madam Speaker, proposing amendment to the Constitution of the State of Alaska, authorizing a priority for subsistence uses of renewable natural resources that is based on place of residence, providing for an effective date. This was the task force amendment, Madam Speaker, that you were part of.
There is objection to the motion, Mr. Majority Leader. There is a call placed on the House. We've already announced there is a call. Mr. Majority Leader.
Madam Speaker, just a reminder to the majority that this is a procedural vote while we wait for the satisfaction call. While we wait for the satisfaction of the call, if I may respond, then I guess to the motion, I totally understand the feeling of the majority or the minority leader and members of the majority caucus. Although we attempted to explain what this process yesterday was intended to do, it did give certainly the appearance of a change in position by the majority. I want to assure the minority leader and members of the minority caucus that this is not the case. I think that input to the process most certainly has occurred in terms of what is the position of the minority. I believe it's been very well stated that the position of the minority is in favor of the governor's task force report. I think it is safe to say at this point that it is not the position of the majority. in working towards some solution to those two positions, we have held hearings in resources, we have held hearings in judiciary, and at some point in time, one has to bite the bullet and recognize that this is not leading towards a solution. It is leading towards an automatic failure to be able to accomplish any form of a subsistence resolution by the end of session. It is to that end that a compromise between the two positions was crafted so as to be sent on, so as to get that piece of legislation, and we will certainly be discussing it at length on the floor of this House, to the other body so that real meaningful discussion on this issue can occur. As we all know, both bodies must be in agreement on a final piece of legislation, whether it does or does not include a constitutional amendment. And until that opportunity presents itself, and it may only present itself, apparently, by our legislation getting over there so that those discussions can begin, we will just continue to provide opportunities for debate and no opportunity for solution. It is with that in mind that I again ask for consideration from the minority and all the members of the House to at least recognize that's the goal, and to please be assured that while the legislation that we will be discussing on the floor of the House appears to be a compromise, it will go to the other body, and my guess is that there will be a requirement for consultation with the other body, with the third floor, with the congressional delegation. But all of those things can only happen when it is in a position to actually put in its final form. With that in mind, I would remind again the body that this is a procedural motion.
Ms. Cannadies. Order. The members, please take their chairs so I can see if the call has been satisfied. The call has been satisfied, Representative Grusendorf.
Yes, thank you.
The call has not been satisfied, and the motion before the body is to withdraw HJR 46 out of resources and refer it to finance.
Yeah, thank you, Madam Speaker. At the beginning of this day, we had a prayer, and the prayer was in relation to the old barrel story. And I've heard it in the song form, I've heard it in many different ways, and it always is kind of humorous. But I think that we have, or at least the majority, has got themselves somewhat in the same position, that when they should let go of the rope, they hang on to it. When they should hang on to it, they let go of the rope, and now everybody is hanging on that rope, and what was in the barrel itself, most of it has fallen out. And the main thing that has fallen out at this point is the essential piece, and that would be the constitutional amendment that would allow us to do some of the things and get the corrections in ANILCA that we're, you know, that we're seeking. And I think it's unfortunate that what started out in a good direction has somewhat changed, and it appears that now, even though by the uniform rules and all the statutes and things, that one House stands independent of the other House, and we must act as if there is no other House, and we are separate in our decisions. So that indicates to me that there is a failure in the package that we are sending over to the other body, because should we send this statutory change over to the other body, I think they could actually say and probably justify it, where is the accompanying resolution, which of course they really probably do not want either. I don't want to second guess, you know, their thinking on it. And we could get ourselves in a very awkward position here, and I think the motion, even though it's probably not in the time frame you'd like, it is something that definitely the leadership should reconsider on this issue as we come down to the end of this session.
We are going to go until 1:30, and at that time we will recess and come back at 5 p.m. The motion before the body is withdrawing a resolution out of committee and moving it to finance. It is not, the debate will not be allowed on the subject of subsistence. Representative Elton.
Speaking briefly to the motion, I mean, I appreciate the explanation from the majority leader, and it was helpful. I mean, members of the minority were not part of the strategy on what should or should not happen, and this is the first real discussion of that strategy. I'd just like to remind members of the body that the motion that was made by the minority leader essentially does not foreclose that strategy, but it does offer the opportunity, if your strategy changes, it does offer the opportunity for you to make that change in an appropriate manner. This motion does not preclude you from following that strategy. But leaving the constitutional budget reserve or the constitutional amendment issue where it is now, you do foreclose future opportunities if indeed you decide to change your mind. So I would urge support of the motion.
Mr. Minority Leader.
Madam Speaker, on the motion. Madam Speaker, I've read many times newspapers and articles and heard on TV that the people of Alaska will blame the legislature if this issue is not resolved, because they were not able to solve the issue.
Madam Speaker, my point is this, that we all get brushed with that same stroke. Somehow, we as the minority need to have the ability to say the people of Alaska, we don't want to be brushed with that stroke. We want it clear that we support the people having that vote. And if the majority don't, we have to find a way to separate ourselves from that. And if that means bringing up this issue every day so that it drives home to the people there is a difference, well, that's what we'll have to do. Madam Speaker, I don't want to cause you problems, and I know you, as being a task force member, are trying to deal with this. I will withdraw my motion for today. I will withdraw it. And Madam Speaker, I look for you to involve us in whatever we do in this body. And I look for all your chairmen to involve us in whatever we do in this body. We are equal partners here. We may only be 12 votes, but we have a right to a say and a vote on every one of those issues, and we will not leave here without it.
Thank you, Mr. Minority Leader. Further special orders. Representative Berkowitz.
Thank you very much, Madam Speaker. I'd like to speak on the subject of making an apology to the Finance Committee.
Without objection, you have the floor.
Madam Speaker, as a member of the Judiciary Committee, I'm not at all proud of the product we're passing on to them. I think we abdicated our responsibility by moving 406 in its current version out to them. It's a bill that's deficient on several counts, and I hope the Finance Committee has a chance to remedy them. It's internally inconsistent, it's unworkable in the field, it's probably unconstitutional as it stands, and most significantly, from the point of view of solving the subsistence dilemma, it fails to comply with the NILCA. And you don't have to take my word for it. Just listen to the testimony of the majority's own attorneys. Madam Speaker, this is a divisive and contentious issue. There's no doubt about it. The process by which we reach a resolution is very significant in bringing the state together again. And the process that went on in judiciary was extremely deficient yesterday. There were people in teleconferences across the state who didn't have the opportunity to weigh in on this subject matter. People who believe passionately on both sides, not that there are only two sides, but who believe passionately in their perspectives. We owe everyone, when we make a promise that they can have a right to participate, we owe them that right. And it was my understanding and in my conversations with the chairman, not the vice chairman, but the chairman of the Judiciary Committee, that we'd have an opportunity to weigh in. The bill that we saw yesterday was unlike any other bill that had come before us. It was a hybrid, neither fish nor fowl, which I'm not sure is a proper metaphor for a subsistence bill, but it was something we'd never seen before. We didn't have the opportunity to propose amendments. We didn't have the opportunity to question witnesses. It was deficient in every regard. It did nothing to foster the confidence and respect for this body. Madam Speaker, We have an obligation here as we wrestle with issues like subsistence to do it in an above-board manner. And there are other alternatives besides simply the task force. There are other alternatives that we're never given an opportunity to explore. Now, I wish we'd had that opportunity in judiciary. That's the correct forum to handle this problem. I want the state of Alaska, citizens across the state, to understand that the minority is firmly committed to resolving this problem and preventing a federal takeover of Alaska's fish and game. There might be disputes within our caucus, but we're willing to air them publicly and willing to have a debate here on this floor as to what those disputes are. We're willing to iron them out. I think that's the finest tradition of resolving problems. And it's a tradition that I'm sorry to say, Madam Speaker, I didn't see with the way the majority handled this problem. And I would hope that as this bill wends its way across, the other body might have the opportunity to debate it fully. There's no requirement that I'm aware of, Madam Speaker, that a constitutional amendment pass out of this body with two-thirds. It can't become effective, can't go to the ballot with two-thirds, but we can send it across with a minimum of 21. We should have done that. There are different strategies. We weren't involved at all in the strategy formulation. And there are 12 of us, Madam Speaker, who stand ready to assist you, to stand ready to bring the state together. And I would submit that the appropriate approach is not to attempt to appease people who refuse to negotiate, who draw artificial boundaries around what's acceptable debate as far as subsistence goes. And I stand at the ready, along with my fellow members of the minority, to assist you, Madam Speaker. And I hope you take us up on that opportunity, because that's in the best interest of the state. It will signal that the majority is willing to work together, not just to solve subsistence, but to solve all the problems that confront us. Thank you.
Senator Davies.
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I request permission to speak on, I don't know where we're going, I guess.
Is that the title of your subject?
Yes.
You have the floor.
Madam Speaker, I guess I'm a little puzzled. We've been told that, this isn't the answer and we can't get to an answer, so we're going to send it somewhere else and hope that maybe somebody speaks to us with an answer. Madam Speaker, I was going to support the motion that was before us before, and the reason I was is because I believe that unless we have that vehicle in front of us that we don't have a real solution in front of us. I don't believe that a solution that doesn't involve a vote of the people on a constitutional amendment can solve this issue. And Madam Speaker, the bill that passed out of judiciary, although I haven't read it carefully yet, I don't believe can stand muster. The testimony that we got on this topic so far clearly suggests that it doesn't. I haven't heard anybody tell me that it can possibly solve the problem. And so, Madam Speaker, I guess my question is, in the perplexity within which I rise, is why are we bothering to have hearings in House Finance on this bill? And we've told the people this isn't it. What's the point? What kind of a sham of a hearing is that going to be? Yeah, we want to hear everything you have to say about this bill that doesn't mean anything. Madam Speaker, this makes no sense. And Madam Speaker, I also suggest that it makes no sense for a fundamental reason, which is that this is a bicameral body and that we ought to be giving it our best shot over here. And as the prior speaker said, we don't get to the 27 votes here, but we get something that at least can stand the red face test and say that it might be a solution and pass that over. And then it would make sense to have hearings and listen to the folks. Madam Speaker, I wonder what we're doing. Why are we going to have hearings on a bill that has been stipulated here on the floor of the House is not a solution? I don't understand it.
Representative Berkowitz, if you would refer to Uniform Rule Number 49. Takes 27 votes for a constitutional amendment.
Mr. Majority Leader?
Thank you, Madam Speaker. I think just to clear up a couple of points, if my comments were interpreted to mean feeling that this bill is not the solution, that is not what I intended to state. The bill is a possible solution. I would suggest that since it has one committee of referral left in this House, that it should be heard and will be heard, as has been announced, and that is why we're having a public hearing. If it is amended there, so be it. If it is amended on the floor, so be it. I recognize we are to not consider that we are not an independent body. That having been said, we recognize that we are not a unicameral body. So that balance must be struck, albeit tacitly. For the record, this bill most certainly could be a solution to the problem. Would it require ANILCA amendments? Probably. That also is potentially doable, but that is considering something much further removed than just whether this body intends to pass a piece of legislation to the other body or not. And I would just sum up by saying that either body has the ability to generate a House or a Senate joint resolution and pass it to the other body.
Representative Terrio, special orders?
Could we revert back up to committee announcements?
Without objection.
I just wanted to announce that we will postpone the convening of the Finance Committee until 2 o'clock.
Further special orders? Mr. Majority Leader?
Madam Speaker, I would move and ask unanimous consent that the House stand in adjournment until 10 a.m. tomorrow, Wednesday, April 8th.
We adjourn till 10 a.m. tomorrow.